AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. AgriTalk is brought to you by Simplot Grower Solutions, a partner you can grow with. Learn more at SimplotGrowerSolutions.com.
Beans settled almost 60 cents off the highs. So what in the wide, wide world of sports does that mean? We'll talk to a regular analyst and one of my friends to get some insight.
Live from Turnt Down Tuesday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Brian Split from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, filling in for Chip, the pride of Zahner Ag Hedge Tits, Hi Fred!
Woo! Oh, so, Turnt Down? What?
Yeah, this morning I introduced the morning show with Live from Turnt Up Tuesday, and I've had to reverse position since then. So, it's been a wild, wacky day, Ted.
It's been a wild, wacky day. So wait a minute. Are you suggesting that you it's your fault? The soybeans is your fault?
It may be.
It might be. Oh boy. Yeah. I don't know. What crazy volatility we've seen here in the last couple of weeks, but last four or five trade sessions in particular have just been wow. I don't know.
Now, I feel like if Chip were with us, he would remind number one that markets don't go straight up.
Right.
And fortunately, they don't go straight down either. Well, on a good day. And that on an up move, it's prudent to every once in a while expect just a little bit of a setback. And he would call this healthy market action, I feel like. Your characterization.
Yeah, the eternal bull. You're going to have a lot of people say that beans, you know, outside sweeping reversal down day after making a new contract high. You're going to have a lot of people say this sort of volatility is indicative of a topping formation. Okay. I don't know. I think today, look, you look at it at the end of last week and yesterday, it was all very one-sided. Today brought the other side to the table. So now is a real conversation of bulls versus bears. It's not just, oh, wow, we're going straight to the moon.
This is no longer a feel-good show. This is an action-packed, tense thriller.
Come on, what you're
producing here, right? If there were only someone, some sort of market expert, someone in the industry, who could talk to us about this stuff, you know, Ted? I feel like we could get it sorted out.
There's somebody we could text and ask him what his thoughts were. It would be
if we only knew what someone's thoughts would be in a situation like this, we'd have everything.
Yes. Fantastic. Oh, well, we're going to get to that. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, there was a comment on Twitter by our own very wonderful guest today saying that, don't text your broker saying thoughts on a day like today. And I'm curious what he means by that. I commented on that too. But yes. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to this conversation today. So, well, before we get to that, Davis, what do you have for news?
Well, Ted, let's start here. National winter wheat ratings suffered a much sharper drop than expected this week, down 4 points to 49% rated in good to excellent condition. That's a slight counter-seasonal move, with ratings generally averaging a small gain upward in late April. The rally has now taken U.S. wheat out of the export price mix, with Black Sea wheat the cheapest world export value. Wheat followed volatility in the corn market today, hitting session highs overnight before, well, shall we say, pairing gains during the day session. July hard red winter wheat, 2.5 cents higher, 7.11¼. July soft red fell 6¾ cents to 7.32¾. September spring wheat, 2.5 cents lower, 7.52. Still seven handles on everything, Ted.
Yeah, still seven. So rather than call it a shipwreck, let's just go with the cliches and say, hey, buy the rumor, sell the fact. Because, you know, we did see conditions drop more than what trade was expecting. So, I mean, there's that positive news. And that, I think, was part of the catalyst for why we saw some strength in the night session. But what a reversal, you know? Interesting.
Well, corn futures favored a more mixed tone, with May futures up sharply and deferred contracts hovering around unchanged. July corn closed well below the new contract high set last night at 684. National corn planting progress came in right on trade expectations this week at 17% completed. That's up from 8% last week, but behind 24% last year and the 20% five-year average pace. There is also some talk of better U.S. Midwest rains over the next 2 weeks. This could be ideal for most of the 2021 crop, at least at first. July corn futures 1¼ cent lower, 656¼. September corn down 6¼ cents, 586¾. December corn closed at 561¾, down 6½ cents on the day.
Yeah. Wild day in corn. Just no other way of saying it, you know.
Well, and meanwhile, we've got, and I wanted to check before I said anything. Sorry about the long pause there, but
no, it's okay.
May futures up 15 on the day.
Up 15, so. Right. Oh, and look at the May-July spread moved 18 cents today. That is wild. You now have May futures trading, 41 cents over July? What does that mean? That spread has gone absolutely ballistic, and I really want to know what Brian's thoughts are on that. But what a wild day in corn and also that May-July spread.
Well, earlier today, May soybean futures touched 16.08¾. That's the highest on the weekly continuation chart since July 2013. But prices retreated to close in negative territory. U.S. soybean planting progress came in right on trade expectations this week. 8% done, up 3% from last week, 7% last year, and the 5% on average the prior 5 years. July bean futures 19¾ cents lower, 519½. August beans fell 19½ cents, 1469½. November bean futures closed at 1342½, down 9½ cents today. I just got to say it. That's my thought.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, I mean, like I said on the opening, I mean, we closed almost 60 cents off the highs in beans today. Wow. You know, this, and it's not a report day. You know, in the sort of volatility we've been seeing here, it feels like it's a report day every day, right? I mean, it's just wild. But going back to the planting progress, you know, corn, 17 versus 20%. We are not that behind. Soybeans, not behind. You know, so like, I mean, I feel like that was a big part of the market that we were getting excited about. You know, oh, wow, we're not going to get the acreage in. Yeah, I don't know. Yes, there's some rain in the forecast, but it is early and temperatures are warming up.
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. What a wild day.
July cotton, 215 points higher, 91.37. December cotton added 217 points to close at 87.12. Friday afternoon's USDA cattle on feed report showed there is not going to be a shortage of cattle during May, June, and into July, when summer demand for beef is at its highest. Meanwhile, high and rising feed prices have curbed cash feeder buying demand. June live cattle down 42½, 115.85. Oct down 67½, 122.10. August feeders down 22½ cents, 150.07½. And on the snout side, bear spreading overtook lean hog futures as cash and cutout values fell yesterday. June lean hogs slipped 17½ cents, 106.67½. August down 22½ cents, 102.07½. Ted Seifried.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of disappointing day in the cattle there, but we'll get into that a little bit more. Everybody, this is Ted Seifried from Zahner Ag Hedge. We'll be talking to Brian Split from agmarketing.net. Come on back to AgriTalk.
Farming in the 21st century requires data-driven technology and product decisions that are rooted in on-the-ground insights. At Simplot Grower Solutions, we're in your fields and by your side to help you grow yields and profits. Simplot is a pioneer and innovator in plant nutrition and agronomic science. Our local experts offer grounded advice to help you get the most out of every acre. Go to SimplotGrowerSolutions.com to see how we can be your one-stop resource. Simplot Grower Solutions, a partner you can grow with.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to Ag at the Talk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory here today on a Tuesday. What a nice, wonderful Tuesday it is outside. It's my computer tells me it's 81 degrees Fahrenheit, and oh boy, I would love to go to the beach, but here I am doing this instead, which is perfectly fine. I do rather enjoy doing this, and I rather enjoy the guest that we have today, Mr. Brian Split from agmarketing.net. And Brian's fairly active on Twitter, as am I, which, by the way, if you guys aren't following Brian on Twitter, you should be. He puts out some very interesting tweets occasionally. I think he has a lot of really good insight as well. But sometimes he's just really rather funny. And something that he said earlier today was just don't text your broker on a day like today with the word quotation thoughts quotation mark. And which sets me up for our other friend Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing. He would like me to ask Brian, what are your thoughts, buddy?
We could at least give me a little bit less of an open-ended question. Let's be a little bit more pointed.
Right?
I think about a lot of stuff, Ted. And
yeah, you do.
Sometimes it's not even about the market. So
no.
What do you want to know?
I love answering that question with like, I'm thinking I'm having a Parmesan cheese sandwich for lunch, right? Or yeah, right. Something like completely
maybe
unrelated.
You could just pick up your phone and call me instead and
yes.
ask me
what
question you want to ask me. But let's talk about the good stuff.
Let's talk about the good stuff. Yeah, and actually that was my comment to your tweet was that, yeah, you haven't called me for 3 years. Now you're just randomly sending me a text saying thoughts, question mark.
Yeah, what do you think? Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
So we got a lot going on right now, and I know you guys were kind of talking about the idea of, all right, we closed well off the highs, so that's maybe one thing that is concerning.
Right. How concerned are you?
We've done that before, though, right? I mean, so we did that the first day of the month in beans. We closed like 51 cents off the high. So today was like 55 off the high. That's kind of the same thing. And, you know, we made a new contract high that day, maybe not quite as aggressively as what we did overnight. Mm-hmm. And then the very next day we turned around and we started to float back up again. So we did not take out yesterday's lows. We didn't have that key reversal that people, you know, are looking for.
It was close, but not quite.
It was close.
Right.
Close. We did not do it in November beans. We came close in December corn, but then that recovered. So we came within about a penny of yesterday's low in corn. So I do think, though, that right now the lows that are stacked there are going to become very important. And it doesn't seem like the bean market has had as much of a desire to be at these prices as the corn market, or at least the bean market is not in charge of this rally. I think it's a feed grain rally. It's,
yes.
It's corn, it's wheat. And I think right now when you look at the closes today, that's evident based on the way that that all the soybean contracts closed. You know, you've got the other market that has been really leading the bean complex, and that's the oil. And oil was almost a limit move off of the high, right? Actually, it was a full limit move, 251 points off of the high. So that's, I think, also a concern. You look at a bean oil chart, that's a doji there. You opened at 60.99, you closed at 60.88. You know, that's such a small increment in the bean oil, where when you just look at it from afar, it looks like a big doji. So you take out today's lows in bean oil, I think that's going to bring in some more liquidation. You get below 550 in December corn, that's going to be a concern. You get below, I think, even just taking out today's lows. We haven't taken out a previous day's low on July corn in how many sessions, right? I think since April 16th. So the settlement that day was 573.75. We've gone up $1.10 without taking out a previous day's low. By the way, today's high is 684, okay? That's July. That is the top step contract for volume and open interest. And the gap that was left in 2013, when July left the board and September came on the board, that gap was at 684. So July corn filled that gap today. So whether you are looking for the front month contract or the top step contract based on volume open interest, that gap is now filled. So that's one less target to go up and fill. So I think whether the market topped or not, we're not going to know that until well after the fact. But what I think the listeners of this show all need to realize is that you need to manage your risk right now.
Yes, right now, right? I mean, I knew you were going to bring up that that 684. You're cutting through my questions before I even get a chance to ask them. So I find that very, very interesting, you know, because you called that a couple of days ago even. Wow. Yeah. So is this the right time frame for things to get a little bit heavy or maybe see a correction in this market? And if we were to see a correction, is that it? Is the party over, or are we going to do this all over again during the summertime?
Well, that probably, if today was indeed a high, and we'll see, but it feels mm-hmm. like it could have been, I think you could do the pullback on planting and the weather improving. And this whole story about, you know, the crop not getting in the ground, I don't buy that for a second. I've talked to a lot of producers that have given me the idea that they're going to be done by May 1st, and mm-hmm. that's not happened before. So
right.
the crop's getting in the ground, and it's happening as we speak. I mean, everybody's out there planting right now aggressively, and it's going in nicely. The ground's working like a dream in most areas. It's dry. There's no doubt about that. But I guess to answer your question, okay, so is this the right time to top? No, it's not. But I think that's why we could be topping, because everybody thinks it's going to top in June or July. So mm-hmm. what is every market participant that is still bullish going to do? They're going to buy the first pullback that we get. And if we've already topped, and if it's the producer doing this, they're going to be buying their own crop from the fund manager that's selling it to them. The funds are extremely long right now, when they should mm-hmm. be thinking about marketing, right? So you're going to have the producer getting even more long on the way down if the market already has topped. And then they're going to be getting long wide because they're going to be expecting the summer high. Well, if we've already topped, you're more long than you need to be. You should have been marketing on this rally, but instead you were thinking about buying it. And then you thought about buying the pullback, and you got even more long on a pullback, but the market's already topped.
Right.
So now you're hoping for the summer rally, probably to just get back to where you bought it. So this is a real dangerous game that we're playing right now. If you're going to be buying it, there's ways that you can play it and that are a safe way to do it, where you at least know what your risk is.
Okay.
But gosh, I mean, so if I take a phone call at 8 o'clock at night and buy corn, I mean, literally by the time I wake up in the morning, that position could be ahead by 20 cents or down by 20 cents.
Or down,
you're
sure.
A flip of a coin, right?
Absolutely. All right, so Brian, you know, I want to do this for soybeans too, but for the rest of this first segment that we're talking, let's talk about strategy for corn. How far along are you advising clients to be sold on new crop corn? And what sort of strategies do you like to use?
Well, I think the new crop strategies that have been implemented so far were very light selling against the 420 level way back. You know, obviously that was kind of an area that over numerous years, 420 to 450 has been a great zone to start. And so, yes, we started there. If we made any kind of a sale there, it was probably an HTA at the elevator, and then the advice was to buy some kind of a call against it. And so, depending on the individual, we've been continuing to layer in some additional cash sales and put the call mm-hmm. on once the sale has been made. But you can really only comfortably do that on a certain percentage of what you expect to grow because it's so dry out there. So I don't want guys getting really over leveraged on the cash side. So then you have to transition to
what sort of percentage are we talking about?
Right now, I think once you get past, because of the way it's dry out there, I don't know that mm-hmm. I really have anybody past 30 to 40%
okay.
of their expected production, unless it's where they want to be. And I'm not going to tell somebody to not sell when it's at profitable levels,
right?
Because that's, I mean, you should be, but
right.
At least at this point, every day that we've waited has made it a little bit better the next day. So that's not going to be like that forever. And I really think that it's days like today that remind you that the risk is not to the upside all the time. You have downside risk. We're at very mm-hmm. profitable levels. So the tough part, though, isn't to me this DESA 21. It's like 22
mm-hmm.
because so much can happen in the next
right.
3 months where I'm sitting here looking at $5 corn for DESA 22, and everything in my mind is like, oh, dude, you should be selling this or hedging it. Mm-hmm. But then I realize that if things go wrong this summer, $5 mm-hmm. corn's not going to cut it because input costs are going to go skyrocketing. And so I think you have to take bites out of the market on the new crop. So, like today, I'm looking at some short-dated option positions in October 22 short-dated options. That's your first short-dated option for the DEES 22 contract. A 450 put there was like 5 cents, and a $6 call was going for like 8.
Okay.
You could do one to pay for the other, right?
Yeah, and I got an idea for you there too, but we're going to have to catch up with that on the next segment. Everybody, we're talking to Brian Split from Ag Marketing Net. Come on back to AgriTalk.
Each year, there are billions of bushels of corn out there just waiting to solve the world's most pressing issues like climate change. Demand fluctuates. Exports are unreliable. So how do we use all that corn right here at home to change the world? POET is working hard to ensure reliable domestic demand for ever-increasing corn yields. Not only is the need for clean bioproducts made from your crops continuing to increase, nationwide adoption of E15 is also on the horizon. This would increase the amount of bioethanol in the nation's fuel supply from 10 to 15%, resulting in a market of almost 2 billion bushels of new corn demand each year. That's 2 billion really good reasons to support biofuels. It's time for farmers and policymakers to unify around E15. Bioethanol is the key to successful agriculture, and successful agriculture can change the world. Learn more at poet.com/ag.
It's time for Pro Farmer Headlines with Davis Michelson. Davis, what's the news that matters most today?
Well, Ted, Bank of America data showed the number of inflation mentions during earnings calls this reporting season has already tripled compared with last year. Yes. Democrats no longer view deficits, debt in the short term with the same level of alarm they once did. Winter wheat CCI ratings drop after that freeze event. Cordonier drops forecast for Brazil's corn crop. No change to Argentine production pegs. Soaring corn prices have boosted wheat in Asian feed mixes. President Joe Biden intends to raise capital gains taxes. Details expected tomorrow evening. And USDA Secretary Vilsack flatly denied there is any effort to reduce meat consumption to meet proposed cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. Pro-farmer members had the details on these and other stories in their inboxes before the open. And you can too, beloved listener. Go to tryprofarmer.com. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Do it.
Do it.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert. I'm from Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip
Big Apple
here
Joe.
On a Tuesday. And great job,
Best
Joe.
Best in the biz. Best in
you
the biz.
You are the man. I don't know why I started singing that during the break. And Davis followed with his mouth trombone. Is that what it
That's
is?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah,
and
sure.
And you're really good at that, man. I don't know if I've heard anybody better. And then Joe comes up with the song. That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
Oh, the fun things we do! Yay! Well, so again, welcome back to AgriTalk, and we've been talking to Brian Split from AgMarketing.net. I was really getting into the nuts and bolts of the conversation of what do we do here, right? And so we're gonna get back to that. Before we do, though, Davis, why don't you give us our quick market recap?
Sure thing. July, hard red winter wheat, 2.5 cents higher today, 7.11¼. September spring wheat, 2.5 cents lower, 7.52. July corn futures, 1.25 cent lower, 6.56¼. December corn closed at 5.61¾. That's down 6.5 cents on the day. July soybean futures, 19¾ cents lower, 15.19½ at the close. November soybeans closed at 13.42½, down 19.5 cents of its own. July cotton, 215 points higher, 91.37. June live cattle down 42.5, 115.85. August feeders off 22.5 cents, 150.07½. And August lean hogs down 22.5 cents, 102.07 1/2. That's your quick market recap. Back to you, Ted.
You are the man. Thank you very much, Davis. Davis Mikeson, the handsome newsman, and also really good mouth trombone player. So,
yes! I thought maybe you were going to say mouth tromboner. Is that?
Yeah! Oh, I don't think we can say that on the air. I promised Chip the show would still be here when he got back. You're killing me, Split. Yeah. You're killing me.
It's a musical instrument. Stop it.
It's a musical instrument.
Well, and actually, I was. It's funny that you guys played that song in the little intermission there, because I said that numerous times today. Where if I was in a coma for the last year and woke up and looked at the screen, I would have thought it was July 4th and it was 105 degrees.
Right.
But it's not.
I was having this conversation with somebody earlier about 2012 and the July 4th. Right. You know, that's when we really just took off. Right. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. I think that's why I had it in my head. But yeah, no, that is funny. Brian, you know, we got cut off by the break there a little bit. We were talking about strategy. Real quick, you know, I was just kind of scanning through here. You could, on the close here today, and this is with December corn down 6 cents. It obviously would have been better when corn was higher earlier in the day. But you could have bought a December corn $5 put and sold a 670 call for even money. Now, that's a put that is 62 cents away from the market and selling a call that is almost $1.10 away, and they're both going for the same price. Is that similar to something you were kind of alluding to right before we went to break?
So I guess when I was talking about that, that was off of the DEES of 22. So that was short-dated position off of DEES 22, because we were talking about, like, what do you do for 22? It feels like you should do something, but because of that fear of input costs continuing to go higher, I don't want to make a long-term commitment on DEES 22. So DEES 22, those October short-dated options are there till September 24th. So, like, in something like that, I'll know by the end of September if I'm short corn at $6 for next year. And if I'm not, then if it's below 450, then we have a hedge way ahead of time that we have a lot of time to manage. And if it expires worthless and we're over 450 and below six, then, you know, we can obviously reassess. Now, for what you're talking about, I'm a little bit, I'm trying to stay out of these long-term December positions on corn and November positions on beans, because so much is happening so fast. I'm trying to take like 30 to 60 day bites out of the market. So if I'm going to do some kind of a hedge on new crop right now using options, I don't want to be stuck in that and forced to manage that sold call all the way through summer. I kind of want to know, hey, maybe by the end of June, going into that June quarterly stock and acreage report, am I hedged? Am I not hedged? You know, am I in a future position because we're above the sold call? So I really don't mind using the July short dated options for the next, you know, 2 months. If we indeed are making kind of a short-term high here, then this market might give us an opportunity to manage that short-dated position a lot easier. You get a short-term pullback, you can buy that sold call back very quickly. The value is going to come out of those out-of-the-money options very fast on a good downside move. It's not going to happen on the December option. So you're going to have that cap over you all the way through summer. So if I'm going to do these little, you know, short-term nibbles on the market, I want to do it in short-term time frames. That way, if I get the move to the downside, we can eliminate the margin ability on the sold call, open it back up during summertime. And the other thing, too, is if the market, even if you just take an approach and say, all right, well, you know, I want to buy a December put, and I'm going to buy a 550 put and have it close to the money, and I'm just going to pay up for it. And I don't know the right answer, but maybe you say, okay, well, if that option is going to cost you, you know,
52, 53 cents.
Yeah. What is that? 550. Yeah. 52 and a half, call it. Well, maybe I look at a short dated 550 and say, hey, I just want this 550 floor over the next 2 months.
Yeah.
Because in the next 2 months, maybe the premium that I didn't spend on the DEES 550, maybe I saved myself 20 or 25 cents. Mm-hmm. Maybe that extra 25 cents,
exactly,
I'm going to spend that down the road, but at a much higher strike price, because in the 2 months we went up another buck, right? So this is just to make sure you got a good floor for that period of time. And in the meantime, if we go up more instead, then we can reapply the rest of that 52 cents that we didn't spend and buy a better strike price down the road and then buy some more time.
Sure. Yeah, and I appreciate your point of view there. I think my point, though, earlier was, I'm buying a put that's 60 cents away and selling a call $1.10 away, and they're going for even money. And honestly, if I'm short December corn at $6.70, I don't know if I'm terribly unhappy about that. All the while knowing that I have a $5 floor, right? So I think
we can tell ourselves we're going to be happy at a price until we're not sure. Happy there anymore because it went a lot higher, right? That's, I mean, we've told ourselves, well, we'd be happy at $4 if we got back to $4, and that was in August, and then mm-hmm. I'd be happy at $4.50, and I'd be happy at $5, and
but we're not.
We are,
at four.
You know,
right?
Right. So,
the interesting thing for me is that the skew is so spread to the calls, even after a day like today. Just the opportunities out there are really fantastic for hedging at this point. Because normally when you're talking about 562 December corn, the puts are so expensive because historically we would go down from here rather than higher. But the calls have so much value right now that they do give you a lot of really interesting opportunities for hedging. Now, I got to shift gears to
something that's super important too.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
People tend to sell the calls when they shouldn't be, when they're not worth a lot. And then mm-hmm. when they're worth a lot, like right now, what does everybody want to do? They want to buy them.
Buy them, yeah.
Right? So that's a really good point. The option skew is giving you good opportunity to accomplish stuff like that. I completely agree there. So here's something else to think about. And I know I'm jumping around to different stuff, but accumulators, right? Mm-hmm. So I have been told that farmers have no business trading spreads. Well, what do you call a farmer that did an accumulator off of July, doesn't have the bushels to deliver, wants to roll it to Dees, but he can't roll it to Dees yet because it's officially not a sale because the options haven't expired yet to double them up. Mm. He's a spread trader. He's short that Dees July spread. Maybe he doesn't even know it, but if you're somebody that out there that's listening, you're a spread trader. If you're in an accumulator and you don't have the bushels, you have to watch these spreads now.
Mm-hmm.
I had a guy call me about that. What do I do?
Yeah.
You have to realize where your risk is, and maybe that's all.
You have to understand the tools that you're using, because I think a lot of us, the accumulators, the OTC stuff, you know, they sound great, but then things like this happen, and then, oh boy, this is not what I was expecting. Well, okay, but you really want to know exactly what you're doing before you get into it, and for the last few years, that's worked out really well. Now, before we run out of time here, Brian, what are you doing in soybeans from a new crop strategy perspective?
Kind of similar on the looking at some July short dated options. Even if you just put in a $13 put versus a $15 call for the next 2 months, that was going for like a dollar earlier in the session, maybe close around 17 today. Obviously, this market's moving a lot. So if you have a target, if there's a price that you're hoping for, if there's a price where you'd say, you know what, I take it.
Throw it out there.
Put the order in. Because all these great fills that happened at like 5 in the morning. And they weren't there because, you know, brokers were calling people at 4 in the morning to put their orders in. Those orders were getting hit because they were resting orders up there. Or maybe you were calling people at 4 in the morning, Ted. I was not. I was still sleeping.
I don't sleep ever, you know. Okay. not in markets like this, I don't think. But, that's more because of my end users. Man, time flies when we're having fun. You got about a minute on livestock. Anything in particular you wanted to say?
No, not really. I think that right now I'm a little hoping, and I hope it's not a good word, but I think there's some similarities to what we've done over the last 2 weeks to the move that we had in October. Very earlier in the month, we made a high in October. We had fell apart over 13 days of down into roughly the 20th of the month. We made a low on a cattle on feed report. Came out that Monday, made a new low for the move, and then closed higher on the day, and then that kind of marked the bottom, and then we went up for a while. So I was hoping that we would get kind of the same price action today. I know the market closed off the highs. It hit the moving average up at the 50-day on August. Mm-hmm. That's the area we've got to get through. If we can take out today's highs, I think cattle's bottom, and we're going to go back and retest the highs. But
awesome.
Now the trend is down.
Thanks, Brian. Hey, you're the man. I know you got to get to a meeting, so I'll let you run. Everybody else, come on back to AgriTalk.
And the word is trombonist. Trombonist.
Ah.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifried from Zamener Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory here on a Tuesday. We've been talking to Brian Split of agmarketing.net. Yeah. I liked a lot of what he had to say about strategy, and I think just to drive the point home, what opportunities are we looking at right now compared to where we were this time last year? I mean, yes, it's easy to get caught up in the whole idea of markets are going higher every day. You know, I'm going to wait. You know, if I don't wait, I'm going to sell too early and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, you just got to be layering in these sales, right? I mean,
And I did like Brian's concept of sort of the small bite marketing. But if I'm looking at these immediate markets and, you know, I'm just going to lay this out here for you. And then you can dissect my theory here and make it right where it fails to measure up. So we had we've had a spring weather scare already. Froze. Planters parked. Oh, geez, we can't plant in this. Have you seen soil temperatures? Now we're out like gangbusters.
Okay? Gangbusters, yes.
The market is less concerned about, like Brian said, oh, it's not going to get planted. No, it's all we're done with that. That's over.
Mm-hmm.
But there is talk about the hot, dry summer.
Mm-hmm.
So as a trader, right, am I now thinking, okay, I want to square up my books now for the immediate conditions, for current conditions, which don't seem too bad, bullish, not really bearish. I'm pretty happy where I'm at because I want to keep my powder dry for this summer in case there's a giant weather disaster.
Yes, and I feel like the market has gone through sort of multiple personalities when it comes to U.S. planting here over the past couple of weeks. You know, we saw the planting intentions report numbers for both corn and soybeans that came in well below what the trade was expecting. And we all said, oh, that's crazy. We're going to get, you know, 92 million acres of corn and 90 million acres of soybeans back to the original guesses of what we had. But then, you know, it got really cold and we said, oh no, we're not going to get the acreage planted. It's just not going to happen. We're going to fall way short of even what the intentions were. But now I think the market's transitioning back to the idea of, okay, but we're going to get the acreage. So, but then you hear the asterisk of, wow, it's so dry. Everything's going in so well. Last time this happened, it was the year we don't talk about, you know, 2012. So this pendulum in the weather market is going to be swinging back and forth and back and forth pretty much throughout the entire growing season, at least until we get to July and we have a good idea of what corn's going to look like going through pollination. And then when we get to August to see what beans are going to be doing going through pod set. But we should be so very sensitive to any sort of weather problems. And we just saw, you know, this first weather issue that we had here domestically. Wow, the market was sensitive to that. We're going to continue to be very, very sensitive because if we are to believe demand, which to this point, we haven't had any reason not to believe corn demand. Yes, there are some concerns about soybean demand because of ASF and maybe China doesn't need quite as much, but I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We still have quite a bit of sales of new crop beans on the books right now, so that's good to see. But until we can question demand, we have to say that, you know, even with trend line or better than trend line, you know, 2 to 4 bushels better than trend line average yield for corn and 1 to 3 bushels better than trend line yield for beans, we're still going to be looking at some really very tight balance sheets. So weather is going to be a thing. And I would think, you know, we almost always find something to get excited about in weather. And some of the long-term forecasts are fairly scary. So it makes you wonder, do we have enough weather premium built into, say, November beans, for example, at 1342, trading more than $2 below where we've got the May beans right now? Or December corn at 562, trading almost $1.30 or more than $1.30 below where we're trading the May corn right now. And you would think that the new crop, given the outlook that we have for the demand and what the balance sheet, you know, from what we saw from baseline and everything like that, You would think that at some point those new crop contracts can get to the levels that the old crop contracts are trading now. And that's been one of the biggest stick in the muds for guys wanting to make some sales. But as I've said, that is assuming that demand isn't going to change. And the thing that I think everybody needs to realize is that high prices, well, I'm not a big fan of cliches, but high prices are the cure for high prices. Yeah, yes. High prices are the cure for high prices. What happens when we have $7 plus corn and $15 plus beans? We do start to cut into demand a bit, whether it's export demand, as Brian was talking about. You know, I was thinking feed demand at some point could suffer a little bit.
Well, and how you long worry have we about been that. Saying, yeah, how long have we been saying, oh, we got to start rationing demand at some point here? We've got to ration this demand. From what you just said, here we are.
It seems like we are. For soybeans, I would say you can make an argument that we are. Now, it's not the time of year where we expect to see huge soybean export sales on a daily basis or things like that. You know, I mean, so it's really hard to tell what these prices are affecting for next year's soybean export demand. But yeah, it does seem like maybe we've rationed some demand. And, you know, you hear a lot coming out of China how they're going to change their feed mix to pull further away from
wheat.
Soybean meal and corn. Yep. And yes, they're buying wheat from France, no less. I mean, hey, pay attention to where we're at. These are opportunities. The volatility that we saw today, I'm not saying it put the high in today. It could have, but I'm not saying that's the case. These are sort of red flags. These are warning signs that you need to be paying attention right now. You need to be actively marketing. So anyways, that's my two cents.
Is Big Apple Joe correct? Is he correct? Is it going to be a cruel summer?
Cruel summer? I hope not. Like I said, I think we're going to have to be on our toes, and I think we'll have our opportunities. And we rarely put in our highs in April or May for corn or beans. It's happened, but not very often. Brian said he thought that's the reason why we could. So keep that in mind. But, well, anyways, thank you very much to Brian Split for coming on to the show. Brian Split with agmarketing.net. I really appreciate his commentary every time we get a chance. Yeah, I think it was a great show. Tomorrow on Market Rally, Davis, you're hosting and you're going to be talking to Bubba.
That's right. It's a Bubba show tomorrow afternoon. We've got Paul Niefer tomorrow. And the Farmer Forum tomorrow morning. So don't miss that. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
So, yeah, tune on into AgriTalk, everybody. In the meantime, this is Ted Seifert from Zanerac Hedge signing off. Talk to you on Thursday.